start in verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. As you can well tell, nothing has changed. Young people are still stupid. Still making terrible mistakes. Still thinking they know more than they know. And still demanding that somebody else supply what they need. Amen. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field, as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us grace and liberty to preach. And I pray, oh God, that the message might find a receptive place in the heart of the hearer. Draw us to thee. Lord, I pray, magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up the Jesus Christ. Make Him the center of all that we say. Make Him the center of all that we desire. I pray that we might lift up and exalt and magnify our Savior, that all men might be drawn unto Him. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, I probably have more messages on that passage of Scripture than any other place in the Bible. I've preached on it numerous times. I've preached on the son, the elder brother, the father, the family. I've preached on it every way I can think of, and it's still one of my favorite places. There's just something about that wayward boy coming home. It just... if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Amen? I mean, it's just something about somebody getting right with God that ought to excite you if you're saved by God's grace. And so I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Riches to Rags. Riches to Rags. Now, we always want to look at it the other way. We want to go from rags to riches. But a lot of times that's not how it goes. A lot of times people start out in life and have a fair shot at it, and have a pretty good background. But because of the choices they make and their self-will, they end up ruining their lives. And a life that started out pretty good ends up with heartache and sorrow and shame and misery. And they literally go from riches to rags. And boy, I know a lot of folks that could sing that song, starting back here behind the pulpit. And so I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes, because that's what this young man did. Now, let me recount his history just for a moment. I only have 3 points this morning. This is as short as it gets. Amen. This young man was born into a very decent Jewish family. His father, I'm not sure how wealthy he was, but at least he wasn't destitute. He had a farm, and they raised crops, and they had animals, and he was sufficiently prosperous that he could hire servants. He had men to wait on him and people to work in his fields. And so they were middle class to upper middle class. They weren't poor. They weren't poverty stricken. So this old boy probably had his own room and probably had a door that shut. Maybe him and his older brother shared the same room with bunk beds. You know, I don't know, but they had a nice little room and probably had a place for his stereo and stuff, and his baseball card collection and his comic book collection and all that, you know. And he probably had the school pennants hanging on the wall, and he participated in the activities down at the local Jewish high school. And it was a pretty typical family. He got 3 good meals a day. He had a warm, clean place to sleep at night. He had a mom and dad that cared about him. He had a mom and dad that were religious. You know, they were Jewish, and they went down to the temple and all that. And so it basically was just a really good, sound home. If you were looking for an example of a good place for kids to come from where they might have a fair shot at life, this would probably be a great example for it. There's a good mom and daddy with a good solid home, religious background, good work ethic, and a mom and dad that obviously love their children. It's the picture. Yet this young fella wasn't happy with it. Isn't that amazing? It amazes me how many young people around the country these days have good families, have good mom and dad, that want to do right by them and give them all that they can and try to set the right example. But the children are rebellious and wicked at heart, and they're enticed and entranced by the world. They're ensnared by the glitter of the lights and the tinkling of the glasses and the allurement of physical pleasure. And they're drawn away, and they're at home, and it's a good home. But they're malcontent. They're discontented. All they can think about is getting away from mom and dad and getting out there to have a good time. They think life is passing me by. Life here is so boring, and life here is so ordinary. Listen, honey. Life is ordinary, and life is boring. That's life. Amen. And every now and then, God lets you interject a little pleasure and a little fun, a little excitement to take away the ordinariness of it. But for the most part, we get up in the morning, we get dressed, we go to work, we come home, we eat supper, we take a bath, we go to bed. We get married, we have children, we raise our kids, we retire. We're born, we live, and we die. I mean, that's just the way it is. Amen? And anything else is a delusion. If you think you're going to live the TV life and the movie life, and that it's always going to be exciting, and your husband's always going to be happy, handsome, and your wife is never going to get fat, and you know, that your teeth are never going to hurt, and you're never going to get wrinkled. You live in a fairy tale. You're not in the real world. I'm here to tell you, that pretty little thing you married, she has 2 or 3 year little old youngins, her belly's going to stick out. Amen. And she gets about 35 or somewhere along in there, and that metabolism slows down, she's going to put on some weight. But now, if you get in a mirror behind her when you're criticizing her, you'll see you probably put on some too. Amen. And them curly locks that she used to love, you're going to have to look for them. Rogaine ain't helped you, honey. I mean, it's gone, and it ain't coming back. Amen. I never can understand why men want their wives to stay young and sexy like they was when they were 17, 18, 19. But they don't. Amen? Let's be fair, fellas. Let's be fair. If you put on 30 pounds and got wrinkles and lost your hair and you got a little pudge right here, and these muscles right here are now right here, I mean, why do you expect her to stay like she was? I mean, let's get real. Anyway, this boy was born and raised up in a good family, but he became discontented. Now, I got a whole other message on why he got discontented. And I'm not going to preach that this morning. I just want you to understand that he did and that he left. And he went out to pursue his dream. You know what this boy's dream was? He was going to go out there and live footloose and fancy free. I tell you what, bless God, when I turn 18, I'm leaving this house. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. You're too dumb to breathe, son. You need professional medical help. Somebody is always going to tell you what to do. Amen? Somebody's always going to tell you what to do. Now, but we think we turn 18, we get out there, boy, I'm going to get me a job. I'm going to quit school, and I'm going to get me a job. Yeah, you're going to get a job down there at Joe Schmuck's garage making $6 an hour, or a job down at Hardee's flipping hamburgers for $6 an hour, or a job down someplace else toting bricks for $6 an hour, or working down in the air conditioning shop putting in air conditioner and crawling under the house for $6 an hour, but you're a $6 an hour kind of person. No education, no ambition, no training, no experience. You're going to about $6 or $7. And you know the sad thing is, 99 times out of 100, you spend your whole life right there, just getting by, living week to week, paycheck to paycheck, and mouth to mouth. Amen. All them kids are going to leave home early, drop out of school. You're not going to be a success. You're a failure already. You've got the mentality of a failure. Well, nobody could talk him out of it. I can just see his mom and daddy saying, son, you're making a mistake now. Why don't you stay home and let us send you to college? We'll pay for it. Listen, if you'll go to the local college and stay at home, we'll buy you a car, you can get back. I've seen parents do that 1,000 times. Trying their best to get them kids to do right. But them headstrong little devils, no sir, buddy, you can't tell them nothing. They know it all. And what they don't know, their friends down there do. To which friend? The ones they're skateboarding with. Amen. The ones they listen to rap music with. The ones down there painting their fingernails black and their lips black, you know, and putting stickers through their eyelids and other parts of their body. Nuts, you know. You know, that crew they run around with that don't know which ends up? That crew. They tell, oh, you can make, boy, what you need to do is leave that house and get you a job, you know, and we'll share an apartment. And boy, this boy bought into all that. Mom and daddy did their best. They couldn't convince him, so he left. He got down there, and guess what? It was just like daddy said. You know, as long as you got money, honey, you got friends. As long as you got money, honey, life is good. I mean, you can go down and get a Wendy's triple burger with bacon and cheese and all that stuff and a biggie size it and everything if you got money. And if you got money, your friends will let you buy them one too. Amen. And boy, if you got money to put in that old beat up ragtag Camaro you driving, you got friends. Why, them little old sleazy, trashy girls will jump right in there with you. Them old sleazy, trashy, good-for-nothing boys, they'll jump in there with you. And they'll go down there and let you spend your money on beer. Amen. They'll hang out at the river with you. You got friends. The girls all love you. Boy, you can have your way here and there and everywhere. Boy, you living the life, ain't you? Got money. Partying. Eating out every night. Got friends. Got women. I mean, don't get no better than this. But then something happens and the pocket runs dry. Now, there's an old saying, but there's a lot of truth in it. It says this, if you broke, you a joke. If you ain't got no loot, you ain't worth a hoot. Amen? When you go broke, son, they ain't got no time for you. They looking for another free ride. They say, oh, they're my friends. They'll stand by me. No, your mama and your daddy was your friends and they'll stand by you. But that's a bunch of leeches sucking you dry. And as soon as you go dry, they go find somebody that's got something. Amen. Your friend's my foot. They're not your friend. If they're your friends, they want you to do right. Your friends, your real friends, never one time, not ever, did your real friends want you to do wrong. Amen. Amen. Some little girl said, he loves me. Then why is he trying to get you to do wrong? All the folks I ever loved, I tried to take care of and protect. All the folks I ever loved, I tried not to get them to do anything that would bring shame or hurt. Amen? That little old boy is trying to get you to be his sweetheart and to be his lover. That sucker don't love you. He wants to use you. And you're so dumb, you think, oh, I'm in love. You're out of your mind is what you are. You and him don't spell love the same way. You spell it L-O-V-E and he spells it L-S-U-T. L-U-S-T, whatever it is, one of them were. I flunked spelling twice. I forgot how I spelled it now. How did I say it? It made a difference. All right. Now, y'all got the picture on this little boy, right? He's down in Never Never Land. He's broke. Man, he's out of money. He's out of friends. He's about to starve to death. And now he's down there and he's got him a job feeding pigs. In America, that'd be like me or you working for a company where we went by and cleaned out the grease traps at IHOP. That's about as low down, stinking, nasty a job as you. I don't know if y'all ever cleaned a grease pit. I have. Man, when I was in Virginia, the company I worked for, we had a contract with IHOP. And part of our contract was we had to clean out them stupid grease traps. Man, you take the lid off of that thing and you just lose it. Oh, my soul, on a hot summer day, that is not something you want to do. I'm going to tell you that right now, son. But we had to do it anyhow. Amen? And this old boy was hungry and he had no choice. And he knew he shouldn't be feeding pigs. But man, he had to feed his belly. And the only way to feed his belly was to feed the pigs. And so he groveled in the dirt. And he lowered his standards. And he took what he could get. And it still wasn't enough to get him by. And he found out he couldn't support himself. And he couldn't pay his rent. And he repossessed his Camaro. And all of his designer jeans and stuff was getting faded and getting ragged out. Now, you can't say they had holes in them because they bought them that way. So he's down here feeding pigs. He's hit bottom. And he's going in the hole further and further every month. And finally he said, enough is enough. And he swallowed his pride. Now it must have been tough for that proud little fella to have to pick up the cell phone and call his daddy and say, Pop, I've played the fool. And I can't make it out here. I'm in the hole and I'm getting further in the hole every week. Can I come home? Now, I want to start our story and start our message right there. When this little boy has had enough and sin is ugly and there's no joy left in it and there's no fun left in it and there are no friends left out there and there's no place to go, when he's down as low down as he can get, when he is dirty and defiled and his clothes are ragged and his belly is empty and his mind hurts, I want to start right there. I have 3 points. Number one, I want to point out the things that this young boy left in the far country. He was at home, and he had it all. He had a stereo. No, I understand he had to share it with his brother, and that was kind of a nuisance. You see, things really are tough sometimes, ain't they? You ever think about how petty things are that upset us and cause us to do stupid stuff? Huh. I wanted my own room and I had to sleep with my big brother on twin bed or bunk bed. Huh. I wanted my own TV but I had to argue with him. We did paper, rock, scissor to decide what channel we was going to watch on the TV. And I just got tired of it. Life's tough. He had it all and he left. He goes down into the world. The world beats him up. And I mean beats him up bad. Now he's ready to come home. When he came home, though, he's not going to come back like he went. There's some things that he had to leave out there in the far country. There are some things he could not bring back with him. He had to leave them down there. And let me show you a couple of them. Number one, there's some things he had to leave in the far country. You say, what did he leave out there? He had to leave his sin out there. He had to leave his sin out. This daddy Wouldn't let that boy come back and live like he was living when he was out there. Now the world's gone crazy these days. I know mamas and daddies are willing to take their youngs back no matter what they're doing. And let them live at home. You're out of your ever-loving mind. I don't care who you are. I don't care how mad you get at me for saying it. I'm here to tell you, son, you got certain rules and all in your house. Them children go by them or they don't come back. Amen. You don't do them any favors when you take care of them and let them go on in their sin. You don't do them any favors when you let them go on being rebellious. You don't let them do them any favors when you let them keep telling you what they're going to do without any payment for it or any cost attached to it. You live under my roof, you go by my rule. Amen. Now, when a fella gets out in the world and gets in sin, when he wants to come back to God, he ain't bringing his sin with him. Amen. I was talking to a lady about a situation a few weeks ago, and she said, well... And she was kind of sheepish because she, that's just the way she is. And she said, but Bob, aren't you supposed to forgive them? I said, yeah, you are. Whatever they do, you ought to be able to forgive them. Amen. Forgive them. But that doesn't mean you take them back or accept them or have fellowship with them until they're willing to forsake. Amen. I can forgive my children anything. I have. But I will not take them back while they're still in it. Amen. Not going to happen. Amen. Not going to happen. Now, but we don't live in that kind of world anymore. We think we ought to take them back no matter what. God won't take you back until you're willing to forsake your sin. Amen. Amen. God's willing to forgive you, but you can't get close to God while you're still in it. Amen. Amen. So this little boy had to leave his sin in the far country. He couldn't bring it home with him. Number two, he left wasted years in the far country. There used to be a country singer. I can't remember his name. Some of y'all will probably know him. sang a song. Was it Freddie Fender? Sang that song, Wasted Years. No, there's a wasted... Okay, whatever it was. Wasted days and wasted night, wasted year. Whatever, whoever it was. I think it was Freddie Fender, but I ain't sure. I can't keep up on them country singers like Steve does. Yes, sir. But my point is, you go out there in the world, you run away from home, and you get away from God, and you think you're going to live the good life, and you go out there, and slowly but surely it just goes downhill, and your life gets worse and worse, and there's less peace, and less joy, and less victory, and you get further and further in the hole, and you get further and further away from God, and you burn your bridges behind you, and sooner or later you're just down, you're nothing, you're living week to week, and check to check, and your conscience is defiled, and you got no peace and you got no joy. Now, maybe the day will come when you want to come back home and God's willing for you to come back. Just leave your sin out there. But you're going to have to look back over a lifetime of wasted years. Years you could have lived profitably. Years you could have had peace and joy. Years that you could have done something for God. Years you could have made a difference in somebody's life. Years that you could have taught and trained your children. But you wasted them. You wasted them on self-abuse. You wasted them on pleasure. You wasted them on having a good time. You spent all your life, you spent all your years on all the wrong things. You're going to have to live with that. If you come to God today and get right and God forgives it and you forsake your sin and you and God get as close as it's possible for a man and God to get, you're going to have to look back over years and years and years that you wasted and wasted and wasted. You have to live with the heartache and the heartbreak and the shame of what you did and what you were and where you went. This little boy came home, but he had to leave some things behind. He had to leave his sin. And he left wasted years. Not only that, he left a testimony of sin in the minds of all that knew him. You know, you ever see people, they just live wicked lives, and you get around people that know them, and you mention their name, and they say, oh yeah. Do you know so-and-so? Oh yeah, I know him.
And you know right then that it's not going to be good. The way they say it. You know the name you just mentioned is held in disrespect. You know that name is held in contempt. Say why? Because they know how he's lived. And etched in everybody's mind is what a wicked, willful sinner that person is. When you speak their name, it is synonymous with rebellion. It is synonymous with sin. It is synonymous with wickedness. And when you mention their name to anybody that knows them, you can see the disgust. You can see the repulsion. You can see the horror because they associate that person with this wicked, licentious lifestyle that has done nothing but cause sin and heartache and heartbreak for everybody that had anything to do with them. All the people they've hurt. All the people they've disappointed. The mamas and daddies who had great expectations for them, who wanted the very best for them, who prayed for them night and day and did all that they could, and they laughed in their face and shunned their ways and went their own direction. Wasted a whole life. Built a reputation as a wicked man or a wicked woman. You're going to leave that behind you. You live that kind of life, you leave that reputation. I don't care if you get saved tomorrow. It's going to take a lifetime to erase what you've been from the people who have known you. You're going to leave behind you in the far country a reputation as a wicked sinner. Not only that, this young fellow, he's going to have to leave in the far country. He's going to have to leave his pride in the far country. Now, the most prevalent sin in the Bible is pride. The wickedest sin in the Bible is pride. Yet, and we have to watch that thing. There is a certain kind of pride that we have to have. You ought to have pride of face. You ought to have pride of race. I mean, you ought not look down on people, but you ought to have enough pride that will make you stand up and take care of your own. Okay? A man that doesn't have enough self-respect or pride to take care of his own family, not much to him, see? And so there is a proper kind of pride. A pride that makes a woman want to always appear a lady. That's a good kind of pride, see? Now, the pride where you are condescending, where you look down on others, when it makes you rebellious against God, that's a bad kind of pride. Amen? Now, this young man left home. He was filled with pride. So how do you know that? Because he wouldn't listen to his mama and he wouldn't listen to his daddy. They had his best interest at heart. They were older and wiser. Amen. They've been down the road of life. They know things this boy don't know, but he won't listen. He's too proud. He knows more than they do. He wants his own way. And no matter what it costs and no matter who it costs, no matter who gets hurt in the process, he is going to do what he wants to do. Amen? That's pride. That's pride. Well, this old boy was filled with pride, but there came a day when he had to take his pride off and roll it up and put it under his knees and get down on it and use it as a blanket and lift up his head to Almighty God and say, Father! Where's his pride now? His pride is in the dirt now. He had to lay it aside. He took his life into his own hands. Nobody could tell him. He could not be admonished or instructed. He knew it all. Too proud for everybody. And now life has humbled him. Life has beat him up. Life has stripped him of everything. His dignity is gone. His pride is gone. And now he's down in the pig pen on his hands and knees, lifting up his heart and crying out to God. Anybody that wants to come home, they'll tell you what you got to leave out in a far country. You got to leave your pride out there. Amen. I remember a story one time. This slave went to a Brush Arbor meeting and he got religion. That's what the old Methodists used to call it. You go to the old Methodist meetings and stuff, they call it getting religion. We call it getting saved. So this slave went to the Brush Arbor meeting and he got religion. And boy, it just changed his whole life.
And the old man was happy and he was singing, swinging low, sweet chariot. Come, see, boy, and he just sang like them old colored fellas sing. And he was just having a good old time. He was rejoicing in the Lord. And his owner and his boss took note of it. And he came over to him one time and he said, Sam, he said, how come you always singing? He said, oh, boss, said, I got some religion. Said, I got it, the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And the old man said, well, Sam, how'd you get it? And Sam said, boss, he said, you see that hog pen? He said, just get up on the fence there. And said, jumps in the hog pen. Said, you get religion. The old man said, well, you stupid fool, I'm not jumping in the pig pen. And he went on. Well, the old man was going down at night and listening to the preaching down at the brush arbor. And boy, God was dealing with him. And so two or three days went by and he come back up there and he said, Sam. He said, now listen. He said, I'm serious now. I said, I want to talk to you man to man. Not slave owner and slave. I said, I want to talk to you man to man. He said, tell me. He said, how did you get that religion? What put that song in your heart? And Sam said, boss said, I done told you one time. Said, just go out over there to that hog wallah and said, get up on the top rail of that fence and jumps in. Well, old made him mad. And the old man slapped Sam. Went on his way, boy, and that old fella kept going to the meetings. About a week later, he come by there, and man, God, the Holy Ghost, this all of him, his all tore up. And he got him over there, and he said, Sam, says, come here. Boy, Sam figured he's going to get beat up again. He goes over there with his head all down, his hat behind his back, and he said, yes, Bob. And the old man said, Sam, he said, I'm going to ask you one more time. He said, I want the truth. He said, I got to know. He said, how do I get the kind of religion you got what'll put a song in my heart? Sam said, boss, hit me if you want to. He said, but I done gone and told you. He said, you see that hog wallet? Man, that fella took off, got up on the top rail of that thing with his coat and his hat on, and just jumped right in the middle of it. And Sam said, boss, said, you ain't got to jump in. He said, you just got to be willing. Yeah, you got to be willing, so you got to swallow that pride. That's what keeps us from doing right. That's what keeps us from God. We're so proud. We're so stuck on ourselves. Nobody going to tell me what to do. Nobody going to run my life. I'm going to be my own boss. Listen, that Bible said it is not in man to direct his own steps. Amen. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But you better put your hand, your life in the hands of God and let God lead that thing if you want it to come out right. You do it yourself and you'll make one big old mess out of it. Now I got to hurry. I got 10 minutes to do these other 2 points. He had to leave some things in the far country. But he had some things he brought home with him. Point number 2. What did he bring home with him? Well, first thing he brought his rags. That's what he brought. Had on that old T-shirt. Said Hard Rock Cafe on the back. Levi on the pocket. But they all stained and dirty. The collar's frayed. His shoes are coming apart and the sole's falling off. He's lost so much weight he can't hardly hold his britches up. That's where that fad got started. And he's skinny as a rail. Everything he's got's wore out. He's been down there feeding pigs. He's got slop all over him. Excrement from the floor in the pig pen. He's just a wreck. That old boy come up, that's all he had. He didn't have nothing else. All them nice clothes he had when he left home, they're gone. Them nice coats and them cardigan sweaters. Belts and shoes. 2 or 3 pair of $200 sneakers. Sunday morning shoes to go to Temple Inn. All gone. All he got left is what he got on his back. And it's old and ragged and frayed and dirty. And when he comes back home, he comes back home in rags. Oh, what a shame that there are so many people that take their lives in their hands in their youth and go out and spend 20, 30, 40 years out in the far country, in the hog pen, and ruin their lives and waste their substance and burn themselves up and live without victory and live without peace and live without joy, and everything just goes to hell in a handbasket. And finally, when they're old and worn out and there's nothing left and they're ragged and ruined, they come home to God, and they have to come home. All they've got left to present to the King of the universe is their filthy rags. That's what he brought home with him. If you've been out in sin and you come back to God, you'll have to come back in your rags. Number two, he brought back a scarred life. You ever watch little old youngins? I'll tell you the honest truth. I love little kids. Sister Candy come in there this morning. She's got them two little old girls. They just pretty as a button. Now, I'm sure they got their ways, and they probably mean as a devil sometimes. But they're as cute as they can be. And they always got them dressed to the nines. Amen. And they are mischievous. But they ain't been out in sin. Okay? And you look at them, their little eyes are just bright. I mean, they just shine like lights. And I told that one this morning, I said, "Well, you sure are pretty." I said, "Can I have a hug?" And she came over there and she hugged my neck. And that little face just a shining, little smile. And there's no guilt in there. There's no shame in there. Just as clean and pure and innocent. I mean, you're just looking at, what you're looking at is all there is. That's the prettiest sight in this whole world. Just pure and undefiled. Trust in the little eyes, just a beaming little smile on her face. I said, "Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that." Well, she just smiled. Just as innocent as she can be. Who in the world couldn't love that? That's the way it ought to be. But so often, man, you see them when they're 30, 40, and 50. And they're wrinkled and they're scarred. And there's no joy left in their eyes. It's like looking into a bottomless pit. There's no happiness in there. There's no spark of life left in there. It's like they're dead on the inside. They've lived a life of wantonness and wasted themselves and cheated and lied and been immoral and ungodly and they've taken their conscience and seared it and crucified it and burned it, and there's no emotion left and there's no feeling left. And you look in there and you say, "Oh my God, the bottomless pit is right here." And it comes from burning ourselves out and living a life without God and bringing all that shame and reproach on ourselves. What a tragedy to go from that pretty little innocent girl to this man or this woman with this scared look and this dead look, this empty look on their face. I never will forget. There's a fellow up in Virginia Beach, name was Brother Weinger. He was the pastor of a Mennonite church. Never drank liquor a day in his life, never smoked a cigarette, never went to a dance, married one woman, stayed married to her 60-something years, raised apples and preached. And when he was up in his 80s, there wasn't a wrinkle on his face. I'm telling you the truth now. There wasn't a wrinkle on his face. His hair was snow white. His eyes were as bright blue as any you've ever seen. And they were so alive. You could look at that guy and they just sparkled. There was a twinkle in them. Say, how come? He never was in the pig pen. He never was in the pig pen. He didn't have the stink of pig on him. Well, I thought, "Lord, what a wonderful way to live and to die." I'm here to tell you, say, "Oh, he never lived." No, sir. You never lived. That old man knew all there was to know about living. He walked hand in hand with God and his wife. And he walked down the straight and narrow and served the Almighty and never got out in the world and never got out in the pig pen and never had to come back dirty and defiled like we do. He brought back a scarred life. He brought back a memory filled with regret. You know, one of the saddest things you ever hear
Did you hear people say, boy, I wish I'd have done so and so? When it's way, way too late to do it. We tell young folks all the time, see, you need to do so and so now while you can. Well, I'll do it later. No, you won't do it later. You won't do it later. And if you wait long enough, you can't do it later. There's two stages to not getting it done. Won't and can't. Amen? People say, I'm going to drop out of school and I'm going to get a job and do this and the other. And then I'm going to get my GED. One, it ain't worth the paper it's printed on. There ain't a job applicant out there in the world that a GED means anything to. They know what it is. You can get it, but you're wasting your time. If you don't have the diploma from your school, you don't have nothing. But the truth is, about 99% of all them people never go back and get it anyway. Because once you get out there, living your own life and get away from home and get free and all that, you know, where you can live the good life, you don't have time for it. And then you mess around and you got a baby or two on the way or two or three on the ground, and now you can't afford to. And then you get 35 or 40 and there ain't no use to. I don't want to get off on that. I'll be here forever. You know what folks say all the time? Boy, preacher, if I could go back and do it over again, I'll tell you what I'd do. And then they got a whole litany of things that they'd like to do over. I'll tell you something, preacher. I wish to God I had never done. And it's tell you all that stuff. Well, preacher, I'll tell you, if I could tell young people one thing and they'd listen to me, here's what I'd tell them. Problem is, can't. Problem is, them other young people as stupid as you are, they're not going to listen either. I don't know why we're so blockheaded, dumb, but we are. This old boy, he came back, but he brought some things with him. He brought his rags. He brought his scarred life. He brought his memories. Then number three, and we'll be gone here in just a minute. Number three, he found some things when he got back home. This is my part of the story. This is my part of the story. See, I once was lost in sin. I was dead. I was without God and without hope. I was out in the wilderness. I was in the pig pen of this world. 27 years lived like hell. And everything I just said about this young man, I could say about myself. Scarred, hard, cynical, and bitter about life. Oh, you have no idea what I was like before God reached down and touched my soul. The sarcasm, the cynicism, the bitterness, and the anger. Years out there in that pig pen. Rolling in the mud. Boy, I'm living the life. I'm having a time out here. Boy, this is the way to live. But I couldn't find any peace. I couldn't find any joy. I couldn't find anything to content my soul. It was always I had to have something bigger and better and move on to this and move on to that. Finally, when I came to God, here's what I found. I found the undeserved love of a father. I didn't deserve it. I've done everything in my power to shame God. Cursed Him, blasphemed Him, poked fun at Him, ridiculed Him, demeaned Him to others, harassed His servants. You have no idea how wicked I was. I tormented the young men that worked for me. Laughed at them openly and ridiculed them for their faith in God. If anybody deserved to die and go to hell, I did. That's the honest truth. But one day, boy, my sin overwhelmed me and God the Holy Spirit began to do a work down in here. And I saw my wretchedness and I saw where I was headed and I saw no solution. And it's just like God opened up a pathway and I could see the only hope I had was Jesus Christ. Amen. So in my rags, with my pride at my feet,
I bowed my head and I said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you know what I found? I found the love of the Father. Just like the prodigal's father opened his arms and came running to receive his son. Wrapped his arms around him while he was dirty and unclean. When I came to God, when you came to God, God the Father opened them big old arms up and said, if you'll confess and repent, I'll receive you. You got to leave your sin in the far country. But you're welcome back. And he put his big old arms around this old sinner. And he's been loving him now for 35 years. Amen. What did he find? He found the undeserved love of the Father. I'll tell you something else he found. He received a welcome at home. Now, there was a couple there that wasn't glad to see him. That's the way it always is. Amen. You take some old slutty whore, get saved, and there's always some old biddy in the church that don't want them there. You take some old drunk and some old dope head, and they get saved, and there's always somebody in the church that don't want them there. Well, I know old so-and-so, and if he got saved, I won't believe he got saved till the mountains melt, you know. Yeah, well, we worry about you too, buddy. Amen. But most of the folks rejoice when somebody got saved. Amen. Now, man, I remember when I got saved. Boy, I was wicked as the devil. I've been in the Navy 10 years, and boy, I don't want to talk about it much. When I got saved, though, I called my dad up, and I said, Pop, I said, I got saved. We're going to get baptized. He said, that's good. He said, when y'all coming home? I said, Papa, I said, you don't understand me. I said, I got saved. He said, well, I heard you, son. He said, you and Brenda coming home soon? Me and him wasn't on the same page. Amen. But boy, I went down to the church house, old Bill Pace, and all them folks out there at Rock Creek Baptist Church. And boy, I'm telling you what, now they was excited. I went down there, I said, I got up and they said, you need to give a testimony. I said, I want you to know, I share for glory, rode down the hill to heaven. And I didn't say it quite like that back then. And arrested my soul, said, I'm saved and sealed and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost on my way to glory. And boy, the whole church said, Amen, glory to God. And they said, why don't you come on in? And why don't you come back down here about 5 o'clock this afternoon? Said, we're going to have cake and coffee back here in the back room. And we got to fellowship with them folks and got to knowing them folks. And going to church on Sunday morning, going to church on Sunday night, going to church on Wednesday night. Well, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Wasn't nobody drinking? Wasn't nobody cussing? Wasn't nobody getting in no fights? I said, hallelujah. I like this way of living. This is wonderful down here. Amen. You come home to the Father, you'll find an undeserved love and you'll find a welcome from God's people. Brother Steve came back there a few minutes ago. He'd been out to prison this morning. It's his turn. And he was kind of smiling, which is unusual for Steve. He's smiling coming across there. And I shook his hand, and he's starting in there. He said, boy, I said, I had 18 out there this morning. I said, 6 of them got saved. But he's just a beaming. I mean, he's glowing all over. I said, glory to God. That's 33 1/3%, son. I mean, that's 1/3 right on the money. I mean, that's just awesome numbers. I said, man, this man ought to be a full-time evangelist or something. Amen. Glory got 6 at one time. That's unheard of out here around these places anymore. I said, glory to God. I said, what are you doing? I'm shouting. Here's 6 men that are in jail that have ruined their lives and ruined their reputations and they've been down in the mud and been down in the dirt and somebody comes and tells them about Jesus Christ and God, the Holy Ghost, got on them and convicted them and Jesus converted them and today, now, they're saved. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to them. And ladies and gentlemen, that can happen to you. So what you got to do? You got to come back from the far country. You got to come back where you started. The last thing is this. You know what this old boy found when he got back? Now, he left some stuff out there. Right? There's some stuff he couldn't bring. But you know what he found when he got back? He found everything he'd been looking for when he left. You know what everybody was looking for? They're looking for the good life. They're looking for peace of heart, peace of mind,
joy and contentment. Amen. So where's that at? It's all in the Father's house. It was right there where He left. You want peace and joy in your life? You've got to come back to the Father's house. You want victory? You've got to come to the Father's house. You want the best life that it is possible to live? You've got to come to the Father's house. And if you've got to lay down your pride, and you've got to leave your sin, whatever you got to leave out there, leave it out there. And come on back down here with your pride in the dirt and your clothes all ragged. Come on back and the Father will open His arms. You'll find all you've ever longed for in your whole life. Let's bow here. Father, we thank You now for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, I know that there's not a person here that hasn't made a mess out of their life in some way or another, at some time or another. Some worse than others, some longer than others, but there are no exceptions. But I read in that book that You're not willing that any should perish. That means the worst of us can come. That there is no preference with You. You don't hold one person in esteem above another. You'll take whoever comes. And I pray, Lord God, You might speak to hearts this morning. Maybe there's somebody here on the verge of throwing their life away. They're young. The world looks so attractive. They paint it up and fix it up. It's alluring. I pray, Lord God, speak to that young person's heart this morning. Give them real wisdom. Help them to come to the Father before they go to the world. Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning that's wasted their life. And today they sit ragged and ruined and defiled. But they're tired. And they're weary. Maybe they come this morning to the Father's house and knock on His door. Lord, I know what they'll find. They'll find a reception fit for a king. I know You'll put the best robe on them and kill the fatted calf. And You'll sing. There'll be joy in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repented. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will work this morning. Draw men and women, boys and girls, that they not spend a life wasted. They not go from riches to rags. That they might come to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.